Hi everyone, Jesse here from Split Aces Media. Marti Newman is a PR extraordinaire, and she, along with her husband Dave, moved their lives to the West Coast, started a family, and launched their very own communications agency from San Diego called Intesa Communications. Today, what we're going to talk about is her story, why she decided to leave her job in D.C. to start her own business, how she went about taking those first steps, and how she's doing it all as a new mom. So, hi, Margie.
Hello.
So, let's talk a little bit about why you decided to take the leap. Why San Diego? Why did you start Intesa Com? Just a little bit of background.
Okay. Well, we had just had a new baby, and we had been living in D.C. for almost 4 years and knew that we were sort of ready for our next challenge. And I thought I would go back to my hometown of Nashville and do some fun PR-related things there, but then received this opportunity from an investor group to start a firm that focuses on strategic counsel to businesses and nonprofits, and also encouraging them to be socially responsible in whatever way that it makes sense for them to be. And so that was kind of an offer too good to pass up. So we came out here, I guess, nearly a year ago and started the firm. And then in April, we opened our Washington, D.C. office.
That's so great. So you have two locations now in the U.S.
Yes.
And it's just you and your husband and your Washington, D.C. manager? What is that person's role?
Yes, Tabitha Thompson directs our D.C. office, and she has the coolest background. She used to work for NASA. She's done some really interesting work. She used to work as a reporter at CNN, and so she's got, gosh, nearly two decades of experience. So she's running things in D.C., and then Dave and I are out here in San Diego. I handle the media relations, crisis communications, and project management and day-to-day office duties, and my husband and business partner Dave handles the digital strategy and search engine optimization and website design. So between the three of us, we have a really interesting package to offer clients. We all have a very different experience, but they fuse together very, very well.
So as a new mom, how do you find the time to manage all of these things? I mean, with a three-person team and you're clearly very busy and you've got a big client list, how do you find the time and tools to manage your day-to-day?
You have to be very organized, I guess, is how I do it. I'm a type A kind of gal anyway, so everything is involved with a to-do list and a calendar. It was very difficult the first probably 10 months of my daughter's life, you know, for me to be the business lady and the mom, just because I was getting used to it, didn't really know what I was doing. And I have a blog that chronicles all of that too, but now we kind of have our groove. We really love San Diego. They've welcomed us with open arms here. And so now that everything has kind of got a groove, then I feel like I have a good balance. But it's really knowing where the boundaries are. When I'm at work, I really try to focus on work. And then when I'm at home, I really try not to think about work. And it's difficult since Dave and I, you know, we're business partners and husband and wife. But we really do try to limit our work conversation when we're not here in the office.
That's good advice to have. I mean, I'm an editor for a website called Project Eve. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the entrepreneurs there, they have husband-wife partnerships, and they have a lot of the same advice. Just keep work and home life separate. So that's a good one. So do you have an assistant, or are you working with anybody that helps you keep things organized, or what's your normal day like?
No, you know, we're all kind of doing our own thing over here. You know, all of us, like I said, are just very highly organized. I have an online to-do list called Good To Do, G-O-O-D-T-O, mm-hmm. D-O.com. So goodtodo.com has been my go-to to-do list for, gosh, probably 5 or 6 years. I read Mark Hurst's Bit Literacy book. Bit Literacy is a great book, and it's a kind of the easier, not as in-depth version of David Allen's Getting Things Done. And you just kind of get organized, learn how to get your files and your to-do lists all in order. And that's where I learned about this online list. There's a free version, or maybe it's all paid now. I don't remember. But it's a great tool. And then, you know, just being very, like I said, just boundaries. You know, the way we all three of us really believe that we can work really, really hard during business hours, and then we can go be with our families. And if a crisis comes for a client, we handle that. But in general, we really do have a nice work-life helps that anyone we work with, we expect them to do the same. You know, we work with a lot of contractors for a lot of our work, and we don't want to work with folks who expect me to answer an email at 2 a.m. And we started this company so we could work really hard, but also have time with our families. So all of us at Intesa, you know, subscribe to that mantra.
That's great. So that was a big motive for you starting your entrepreneurial endeavor, was like freedom of your time and ability to like manage your own calendar kind of thing?
Yeah. You know, the other thing, you know, time is a reason you start your own gig, but it's also a matter of you start having principles. You have these very strong work principles, and you want to accept clients, and you want to do work for people who share those beliefs with you about the quality of a work product and what it means to communicate holistically. So, you know, print, pixels, and people is kind of our thing, and you can't just pick one and be effective anymore. So what was fun about starting your own business is that you can say, yes, these are the sort of clients we want to work for. And then if someone who maybe isn't the best fit for us comes along, we don't have to take that client, you know, and we, you know, all of our colleagues have the freedom to make that call. And that's another reason we started it. So time, and then also getting to really subscribe and push forward your belief system on how the public relations profession really should work.
So when you say that you have the ability to say no to a certain client, I mean, when I first started consulting, I definitely ran into this issue. I was taking on clients that I didn't necessarily know much about the industry. I just really, really, really wanted the experience, and I was kind of branching out. When did you realize that you had the power to say no to a certain client, and how would you go about making that decision?
You know, we make the decision based on, you know, we are very clear about we do strategic communications for people who do good work and who do it well. And so we have price points and minimums that, you know, not all companies can afford the work that we do, and that's okay. There are other people out there that we send them to with a different price point. So that is part of the decision. What they actually do, what their business does, what their nonprofit does. Again, we want to do work for people who do good and do it well. And then there's also the, you know, how are you treated, you know, in these relationships you're building with people. You know, public relations is all about relationships. And so I have to believe in my people that I'm working with, and I have to be treated respectfully and vice versa. And so what is that personal fit? And, you know, so far we haven't had anyone that we've had to say, get out of here. You know, you're not a good fit. But when we're looking out there for clients, or when we're nurturing these relationships, we nurture these that are the better fit more. And then the ones that we see would not be a good fit based on our work approach or what they do or the price points involved, we make sure that we send them to another place that we trust, but it's just not us.
Okay. So what tools are you using to market your brand to bring in your ideal client? Are you doing word of mouth, online tools, blogging? What's your method?
Kind of everything. You know, our big deal here, again, as a comprehensive strategic firm, we do, you know, full service public relations and digital consulting. So we feel like if we're going to tell a client, you can't pick just one. You have to kind of do people, paper, and pixels, and search engine optimization is key, and being consistent in your messaging. All the things we tell a client, we're trying to live by that. So you'll notice here that in the next, actually this week, we all divided up. We're each going to blog once a week for topics that we want people to understand we're the experts on. We are working on all of the digital platforms to be sure that we are everywhere using in consistent terms for what we do and who we do it for. So Google Plus, you know, not that many people are on it, but Google sure loves its own platform. So are we being active there, sincerely, you know, trying to put good content out there? Yes. Because we know that there is an audience there, but most importantly, search engine optimization. So, you know, you start looking through some of these tools, and if I'm going to tell a client to do it and I don't do it myself, you know, why would they trust that? So to build our own brand, we are doing just a comprehensive communications plan. We met last week, all three of us, and put it all out on paper and a timeline, and goals, and we're excited.
That's great. So where does the role of networking fall into this? Because I know that you're like a networking queen from your days in Nashville Flax and DC Flax. So what are you doing out in San Diego for that role?
Well, you know, yes, I'm a fan of networking. Sincere networking. It's interesting. You know, San Diego is a different place. And so it's not like DC as far as the networking opportunities and what kind of goes here. So it's been more of just getting out, and just hanging out with folks, going to other people's events instead of starting my own, sponsoring events. There are ways you can get involved with social media, conferences mostly, and professional organizations for not that much money as a business. And you can get exposed to people who do communications work for companies and nonprofits. You know, again, those are the kind of people who would hire us to help them. So, you know, we're sponsoring things. We're attending networking events. We are active on Twitter to try to follow local people and get engaged with them. Tabitha is doing similar things out in D.C. You know, she's going to events in the women's initiatives in science and technology community, since that's her background. And we're all just kind of making a commitment to really stick to that, to get out there. Again, to not just tell people that they should be out in their communities, but doing it ourselves. And we do some pro bono work for the San Diego Council on Literacy here in San Diego. So just trying to get out there, but in a sincere way, and in a way that makes strategic sense. You know, who are the people we're trying to get in front of?
Right.
And it's hard because we don't do the work for small businesses. We don't do startups for small businesses. So a lot of the networking things you see are for those sorts of deals. So we have to be sure that we're attending the correct ones.
So clearly this is not a 4-hour work week, Tim Ferriss kind of lifestyle. I mean, a lot of people have that. I mean, a lot of people, when they quit their jobs, they do it because they want that life. They read that book over and over again, and they're like, yes, this is going to be me. I can do this. But, I mean, it's a lot of work. It's time-consuming. It's networking. It's marketing. What advice do you have to people who are looking to start their own business, and they have shades pulled over their eyes? They don't really realize that there's this much work that goes into it.
Yeah, that's so true. My biggest advice would be don't start your own business if you don't really, really love what the work is. You have to love it because it's, you started your own thing. It's not like you could just go quit that job and start another one. You'd have to dissolve that company and start another one. So it's when people do that, and many people do, decide they're going to put their current business behind and start something else. It's a hard decision because you put so much of your life and your heart into that business. I don't think a lot of people realize, how much of you goes into that. It's very hard to separate the emotion tied to, this is something I built. So I would say don't start a business unless it's a topic or a product or an initiative, a cause that you really love. Be prepared to spend several hours a week, if not a day, marketing your own company, not just working for your clients or working on the product, but marketing yourself. You also should really start a company. If you're going to start it with someone who grounds you. It really keeps you grounded. It can be honest with you. I started mine with my spouse. I think it works because we are complete opposites. If we were very similar, I don't know that Intesa would be as successful as it is. So be sure to find someone in your life, either a business partner or a mentor, that can tell you yes and no.
All right, all great advice. I appreciate your time. One more question. I know when I moved to DC, I got chastised for showing up to my very first networking event without business cards. I was that very unemployed girl. So
yes.
How do you feel about business cards and people finding jobs and networking?
Oh, business cards are essential. I've written so many columns and blog posts on this one. A lot of times people don't carry a business card because of a self-esteem issue, be it I don't have a job, or my title, isn't what I would want. And this is not just a young professional thing. You see this across the board. People who just aren't confident that what their business card says will represent them well. So make up your own business card is always what I tell people. You know, think of the job description. You know, what is the description of your skill? On my personal cards, it says Flack Writer Geek. On my husband's personal cards, it says, like, WordPress Tinkerer something. You know, like, he says WordPress on there because he does websites, but he really just does WordPress websites. So, again, create your own business card. Say what your skill set, what your passion is on that. Email address, phone number, Twitter handle, or LinkedIn profile, whatever works for you. That's it. You know, but don't go to an event without a way to leave people a way to contact you. And that's really all it is. You know, there's an event I go to that someone I was interested in something for work or for personal or for babysitting. I mean, you name it, had no way to give me their contact information. So they were going to have to take my card and email me and, you know, we're just give me your card. Right. So I have to encourage you, just don't ever leave home without one. I keep one in my purse. I have a business card holder. I have them in the car. I have them in my diaper bag.
I remember you gave me both of your cards. Like,
yeah. Well, at the time, I worked for an employer who did not want me handing out their card to do these networking opportunities. They then realized that that actually didn't make a lot of sense. But at the time, they didn't understand the internet all that well. And so it made them nervous that I was out there doing things, you know, and handing out my business, my true business card. So this was just a way for me to be able to stay in contact with people as making my personal one. But I can't stress it enough. And that's especially true if you're going to start your own thing. You know, you have to have a way for people to meet with you. Don't assume everyone has a Twitter handle or is web savvy. The people who hire you may not do the internet, and that's okay. You'll have a way for them to get in touch with you. Just you got to know your audience, no matter who that audience is.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Margie, for taking the time to talk with us today. You're always great. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for thinking of us. And you know, good luck to you with Split Aces Media. You're doing great work over there in NYC.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Jesse.
Bye.